Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, May 8th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back veterinarian Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital for the latest edition of Pets at Vets. If you have a question about your dog or cat or other pet, give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Carrie O'Loughlin is here, and that number again, 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets, coming up after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today, and here to take your calls is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell University. She joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998. Our number to call if you have a question is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, welcome back.
Well, it's nice to be back.
You were almost late. A little emergency today, huh?
Yeah. So surprisingly, I had already planned on bringing this topic up on my way in, and that is turtles. It's turtle season.
Yeah.
So the turtles are starting to wake up from their winter slumber, and they're crossing roads trying to get to their nesting grounds.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, on the way in, I did find a snapping turtle in the middle of the road that had been run over.
Ooh.
So she's still alive, thankfully. And I was able to get a hold of my wildlife rehabilitator, and her husband came and picked her up, and hopefully she'll be okay. But, you know, if people are driving and they see a turtle in the road, if it's safe for the humans, you know, it's a good idea to stop and see if you can move them in the direction they were headed. Don't put them back on the side of the road, or they're just going to keep trying where they were going. Now, snapping turtles, of course, are a little tougher. They are snappy, and they will bite you, and they can take a finger off.
Oh, that's not good. How do you deal with that?
So I was taught by my brother-in-law, who is a herpetologist, kind of like how people can't lick their elbows. Snapping
you
can't lick your elbow.
Okay.
Snapping turtles cannot physically reach you if you grab them between their hind legs, so on either side of their tail. You do not want to pick them up by the tail because you can injure their spine.
Ah.
But
so grab them by the back legs.
No, in between, on either side of their tail. If you're inside of their back legs, if you grab the back leg, they can get you.
Yeah.
But if you get inside of those back legs, they cannot. They'll snap at you. I tried it. They scare you.
Yikes.
The one today wasn't snapping so bad because it was hurt. But yeah.
But I mean, one of the important things is, and you mentioned this, don't get out of the car if it's a blind curve or someplace
where you
can
get yourself hit.
Yeah.
Right. No.
All right. Very good. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin here on this Pets and Vets edition. And we start out with Judy in Albany. Judy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a strange cat problem I'm hoping you can shed some light on. My 7-year-old Angus has run away from home about 5 weeks ago. He was devoted to me, followed me from room to room, slept on my bed, and we don't even know how he got out. He suddenly was not here. I should say that he was born feral. I manage a colony of feral cats. The colony is stable now. We've had no kittens for over 5 years. But when we were still having kittens, we tried to find homes for whoever we could. Now, my cat was snatched from a litter. He was healthy, but shy and reclusive. He only liked me. And I did everything to find him, advertised, walked the neighborhoods and all. Now, about a week ago, he shows up in my backyard with the rest of the colony. Occasionally, he'll let me pet him or pick him up, but if I try to bring him in, he jumps out of my arms and runs away. Do you have any idea, Dr. O'Loughlin, what might be causing this behavior. I thought he had a psychotic break or something.
Well, unfortunately, my understanding with the ferals is they can kind of go back to being feral if they end up hanging out with a bunch of feral cats. You could try have a heart trapping him and getting him back in the house that way. I know if you've got a bunch of ferals,
I hate to traumatize him that way.
I mean, the only, if you know of treats that he really loves and you can just sit out in the backyard and feed him lots of treats and try.
I've been doing that, and he talks to me. He's a cat that talks with his mouth wide open,
Yep.
But and he draws the line at coming in.
Yep, some feel away maybe, put some feel away on your clothing to try and make you a calm person.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Slowly see if you can't entice him closer and closer to the house. But besides trapping him, that's the only thing I could think of.
Okay. Where do you find that feel away?
If you look online, they any of the pet stores sell it, Amazon, any of those kind of places.
Okay.
Thanks, Judy.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Good luck getting
him
back.
Appreciate the call. And now let's go over to Brian in Saratoga Springs. Brian, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Dr. O'Loughlin, quick question. I have a healthy 4.5-year-old beagle. And do complications occur later in life if they're not castrated?
Potentially.
He's healthy and everything's fine.
Yep.
Somebody mentioned that the other day when I was walking him, and I thought this is the perfect forum to field this question.
Right. So the two main things we see in older male dogs that are not castrated are prostate enlargement because of the testosterone in their system and potentially testicular cancer. I would say the prostate enlargement we see much more often, and that can be fixed by neutering them. And testicular cancer, less often, but it can also be fixed by neutering them. If he's not showing any behavior issues and you keep him on a tight leash so he's not going and getting any girls pregnant, there are some signs out there that leaving them unneutered is not the worst thing in the world because it can protect them from certain cancers. But that research is still ongoing.
Okay.
All right.
So basically you're saying, I'm hearing both sides of this, and that's why I thought I'd just give you a call. You might be the tiebreaker, but okay.
So just, make sure that when he goes in for his annual exam, he's having his parts palpated, his testicles and his prostate. And if you notice him having any trouble, it's not so much urinating with the prostate problem. It's usually defecating. They start making little ribbon-shaped poops instead of round poops because the prostate pushes up on the rectum.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot,
no
Brian.
Problem.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. It's Pets and Vets today. We'll go to Maggie in Stone Ridge. Maggie.
Hi there.
Hi.
First of all, I want to thank you for the turtle warning. I'm a big turtle fan.
Yeah.
I have three generations in our pond that we dug, and they just kind of appeared. And so I'm a big turtle fan.
Good for you.
But my question. I have a 5-year-old dachshund that when you open his mouth, you might as well be opening the lid of a septic tank.
Oh, yes.
His breath is so bad. What can I do for it? Nothing. I mean, one thing we have noticed, if we spray water in it, it's better. I don't think he drinks that much. He kind of lumps. He likes the lump. Dachshunds like the lump on your lap. So I do think his lumpiness is part of it. But what can you do for bad breath in a dog?
Well, the vast majority of bad breath in dogs is because of their teeth. Have his teeth been checked recently, or have you looked at his teeth?
We take him every 7 weeks to have his teeth cleaned and his nails cut.
Teeth cleaning by a groomer is not a teeth cleaning. So they're not, that's not going to do it. So dachshunds as a breed are one of those breeds that tend to have bad dental health. And you get bacteria up under the gums, and that's where most of the odor is coming from. So my guess is that he probably needs his teeth cleaned professionally by a veterinarian. And then there are things you can do after that to keep them clean. You know, there are rinses, there are additives you can put in his water, things like that, that will help keep that tartar from coming back. Or you can start brushing his teeth.
No way. He won't let him do that.
Yeah.
That's why we take him every 7 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, the antics that go on when he gets in my car knowing he's going, even though he loves the groomer.
Yeah.
He waxes after it's all done. He's kissing her and he's wagging it, you know.
Yeah.
It's just the whole idea.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, any superficial scraping of teeth that they can do at a groomer is not going to cut the mustard. It's not going to do a good enough job. So I would say get the teeth cleaned and then work on some either additives or dental chews. There's a website, vohc.org. It's Veterinary Oral Health Council. And they have an approved list of dental treats and rinses that actually do the job.
Okay.
But you need to start with a clean mouth.
All right, we were giving him, you know, like the greenies, whatnot.
Yep.
But, you know, then he started to put weight on.
Right.
And, you know, that's like, we are so cognizant of keeping his weight down so that his back doesn't have that extra pressure.
Yep.
You know, especially as he gets older and older.
Yeah. If you're going to do anything like that, anytime you're adding any kind of treat, if it's for a good reason or not, you have to remember it's extra calories. So you just have to take a little of the regular food away.
Right.
All right, Maggie, thanks a lot. We'll take a quick break here. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. It's Pets and Vets today on Vox Pop. The number to call, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here. We'll get right back to the phones. This email came in from Karen, subject heading tick meds for dogs. Karen writes, I'm so worried about ticks on Lyme disease. We have so many deer in our area. I'm also concerned about the toxicity of topical flea and tick medications. Do you have any suggestions? Do natural repellents work? I have a 4-year-old Maltese that had a bad reaction to the topicals and a new 10-week miniature American Shepherd that loves to roll around in the grass.
Well, unfortunately, I've never had any good success with the natural, like they used to say, give them garlic, which you have to be careful of because you give too much garlic. That's not good for them either. So I'm a pretty good fan of the oral flea and tick medicines.
Yeah.
There's a brand called NexGard that I've been very happy with. It's an oral, so the dog ingests it. Because it's an ingested medication, it means it's been checked by the FDA.
Yep.
And they do a lot of stringent testing on it. So as far as we have seen, it's very safe. The dogs tend to love them.
Okay.
The only caveat is they say using caution with any dogs with a seizure disorder.
Ah.
And really, it's only because a couple of dogs that had a history of seizures already had seizures while they were taking the NexGard.
Sure.
So, you know, whether they were going to have those seizures anyway, we don't know.
Right.
So I've had dogs that have seizures take NexGard and be fine, but we do warn people about that.
Fair enough.
The other option is a collar. There's the Prevent Tick collar that just does ticks. And then there's the Seresto collar.
Yeah. That works great on our cat, I'll tell you that.
Yep, it does seem to work well, and that works on fleas and ticks.
Okay, and they have them for dogs too, huh?
Yes.
Okay, over to Charles in South Fallsburg. Charles, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon. We have a 15-year-old cat who started to have seizures this past January, and we took her to the vet, and she couldn't find anything wrong, but she suggested CBD oil. Which I've been giving the cat, and I just wondered, they do seem to lessen the frequency and the intensity of the seizures. I just wondered, do you have any information on research on that? Can it cure the seizures or anything?
I'll tell you right now, there's still very little information out there about CBD oil. And technically, we're still not allowed to prescribe it.
Really?
Because it's still considered a number one controlled substance by the FDA or the DEA.
Huh.
They are working on taking those off of the all of the hemp products off of the DEA listing. But
right.
As far as I know, it hasn't quite been done yet. So, yes, I have heard of some animals that have done quite well on CBD oil. But as far as research, I think right now it's still very limited because it's still considered a illegal substance so that they are not legally allowed to do a lot of research on it. So,
okay,
I wish
Charles.
I had more info for you, but I don't.
Charles, thanks for the call. Now we go to Jane in Stanfordville. Jane, you're on.
Thank you. I wonder if we have information on how to treat irritable bowel syndrome in cats.
Gotcha. So irritable bowel, or the technical term is inflammatory bowel disease, is basically the cat's immune system reacting to something in their environment. It's often food related, but not always. So one of the simplest things you can do is to change the cat's diet. And by changing the cat's diet, I mean putting it on what we call a limited ingredient diet, so that the cat is eating ingredients that it has never had in its life.
Mm.
So usually, since most cat foods out there have poultry or fish, it usually means going to something like duck or rabbit or venison. I had a cat who did very well on an all beef. I found a canned food that was all beef, and she did well on that. And diet alone will sometimes fix it if the cat doesn't have a bad case of it. Sometimes they also need medications, anti-inflammatories, cortisone, things like that to get things calmed down. And then hopefully if you can get them calmed down and keep them on an appropriate diet, then they'll do fine with diet alone.
Thank you, doctor.
Thanks, okay. Jane. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets today on Vox Pop. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Let's go over to Gene. Gene, the computer says you're in Lincoln, Nebraska. Is that true?
That is correct. We lived there for many years, or in upstate New York for many, many years. Moved here listened to WAMC all the time.
That is terrific. How do you like Nebraska?
Northeast is beautiful.
Yeah.
And we have family here, and that's why we're here.
Okay, well, we're glad to have you on the radio. It's Old Home Week. You're on.
Okay. We have a year-and-a-half-old cat that was a stray. We have had it about a year. It was it's a completely indoor cat. And we're feeding it about 2/3 of a cup of dry food daily, and it's getting fat. But what would you recommend for a fat cat?
So the best way to get a fat cat to not be a fat cat is to take away the dry food and put it on a canned-only diet.
Oh, canned-only.
Yes.
Okay.
So cats are carnivores, and they are really meant to eat what we jokingly call the Catkins diet. So high protein, moderate fat, low carbohydrate. And dry food, just because of the way it's made, it's basically cereal. It's 30 to 40% carbohydrate.
Yeah.
And most canned foods are somewhere, you know, the below 10 or maybe up to the high teens
right.
in carbohydrates. Now, if you can get one that's got a lot of gravy, you can push that up. But if you stick with the plain, pate varieties of canned foods, and just think of dry food as a snack, like potato chips.
Oh,
so it's okay.
Okay
to have the occasional potato chip, but you don't want to make that your main diet.
Yeah. She doesn't like any food, like, if, you know, the the cleaned out ice cream bowl, she just sniffs it and goes away.
Yep.
So
yep. And if she doesn't like the canned food right off the bat, you can get them to like it. You can put a little bit out, take some of her, you know, dry food away, wait till she's really hungry and just put the canned out. And you can also do things like sprinkle a little bit of bacon crumbles on it or something like that to try and entice her to eat it. And then, you know, eventually.
And how much canned food a day then?
So the average cat would eat a full tuna fish size can, one of the bigger cans.
Okay.
Per day, or two of the little sort of like fancy feast size per day.
All right. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, Jean. Our number is 800-348-2551. Of course, our cat only likes the gravy stuff.
Well, I mean, of course.
You know, she just is, and she likes dry, too. We have to keep her away from that. It's another one of the kids. Irene in Rosendale. Irene, you're on.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment about the neutering the male dogs. I had a dog I found in the street, and he was very healthy, and it was not ever our custom to neuter male dogs. And exactly what Dr. O'Loughlin said, when he was 12 years old, one day he couldn't poop, and he had to be emergency neutered at 12 years old. And then when I took him for a post-op visit, the doctor looked at me and said, "You're not having any luck, because from all that straining to have a bowel movement, he had torn a perineal hernia."
Oh, dear.
And so he needed another operation to fix that.
Oh, boy.
And so personally, I would never have an unneutered male dog again, because those were bad experiences.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was tough luck on your part. I mean, certainly we do... neutering them at 10 or 12, usually not the worst thing, but yes, those perineal hernias are not pleasant to deal with.
Irene, thanks for the call. It's Pets and Vets today, and now we go over to Emily in Shelburne Falls. Emily.
Hi there.
Hello.
I am going to start off in a kind of odd note here. I am grandmother to an almost 7-year-old human boy and a almost 1-year-old sheep who puppy.
Okay.
And my daughter and grandson went off to California, and Pa Bert and I took care of little puppy. And after about 3 days that she was here, she couldn't hop up on our bed, and she couldn't hop up on the chair bed, and she couldn't hop up anymore. And so when my daughter got her back last Saturday, she was really upset, you know, normally, and said that her puppy wasn't acting normal anymore, and you know, so she took her to the vet, and the vet said that either she has a pinched nerve, she ran blood work, she couldn't find anything, or give her some ibuprofen or something to keep her, you know, to take the inflammation away and see what happens. And as of yesterday, the puppy still was not hopping up on their furniture either. So the vet said that it's either, you know, next step is a neurologist, and the breeder thinks that it's Lyme disease. So I feel so horrible, so responsible. My daughter's like, don't worry, you know, but you have any offers, any ideas?
Well, so how old is this puppy?
She'll be a 1-year-old. She turned 11 months old here, so June 2nd, she'll
okay.
be one.
All right, so she's just going on one. So she's fully grown.
Probably.
Yeah, it's hard to say. She's a little young, in my mind, I would think, to have, you know, had a disc move, which is what tends to cause the pinched nerves. So, you know, pinched nerves are caused when the discs or the cushions in between your back vertebra get nudged out of place and put pressure on the nerves. That usually happens, you know, middle age and older, unless there's some sort of trauma. Now, Lyme disease, if the vet did blood work, you would think they would have checked for that. Lyme disease, pretty much, if they're going to have Lyme, it's going to, by the time the dog is sick, the test is going to be positive. So you don't get too many false negatives on the Lyme test.
We had her here for, you know, a couple of weeks, and the second day she was here, we were doing outside work, and we tied her up onto a little cinder block, and she had a harness, not a collar.
Right.
And she pulled on it. Would that have done anything to... I mean, my daughter said she's a really strong, hardy little animal.
Yeah.
But would that have done something, I guess? I mean, she just pulled it and moved this tiny little cinder block, not
right.
one of the big ones. It's
right.
like a half of a cinder block.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose she could have even just pulled a muscle doing that. And that can take some time to heal.
Isn't it fairly simple to figure out if it's a pinched nerve?
No, not always. You can't see the nerves or the discs. You'd have to do like advanced imaging, like an MRI or a CT.
Mm-hmm.
So, my feeling at this point, she's young. I would just continue to rest her and give her some time.
Yeah,
I mean, these guys tend to heal, but it's hard. You just no jumping, no trying to get up on the furniture.
Right.
You know, four paws on the floor. And just
yeah.
try to have her take.
Oh,
I know it's hard
so
when
much.
They're 11 months old, but.
Okay. Emily, thanks for the call. Let's grab another couple of calls before we take our next break. And number is 800-348-2551. Barbara in Housatonic. Barbara.
Hi. This was a long time ago that we were talking about turtles, but I just wanted to tell the listeners about moving a snapping turtle. First of all, there's no doubt that a turtle is a snapping turtle. It looks very prehistoric.
Yes.
This one was a monster, and we didn't go anywhere near it. We took a stick. Two of us took a stick about an inch in diameter, and it was about 2 feet long. We held it in front of its mouth. It chomped on that thing like you wouldn't believe, and the two of us picked it up on either end and just walked it across the street and put it down, and it released the stick and went on its merry way.
Yep, that actually is another, if you've got two people, that's another way you can do it,
right.
or even one person. I did actually move a snapping turtle once with a golf club doing that. I had to grab onto the golf club, and I sort of dragged it across the road. So that is another suggestion, especially the super big ones that, I mean.
How old are they?
They're heavy. Oh, my goodness. They could live into, I think, almost 100 or more. I mean, some of the big ones that you see that are, you know, dinner plate or larger can easily be 50, 60 years old.
That's amazing.
And they do look prehistoric. They're like little dinosaurs.
They sure do. Over to, wrong button. Let's go to Dunia in Valencia.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I recently adopted a tortoise myself last weekend, and she's not eating, and I'm not sure what to do. I've tried a couple of different things from your regular greens like lettuce and spinach. We tried some strawberries and, of course, the pebbles they sell at the pet store, but I'm not having very much luck.
I am really sorry to say I know nothing about tortoise medicine. So, unfortunately, I'm not the person to ask.
Should we call your brother?
Yeah. My brother-in-law might have an answer. But, unfortunately, I can pick up injured turtles, but I don't have any medicine knowledge. So,
okay.
I'm afraid I can't help you.
Sorry about that. Let's go on over to line 9 and Larry in New Windsor. Larry, you're on.
Hi. We have... Newfoundlands and a Leonberger and are strongly against fixing the dogs if the dog can be under control. We did have our first male Leonberger Newfoundland that we had fixed for doing the right thing, and it caused abnormal growth and a lot of different problems. So what is your opinion in terms of this spay neuter that is sparing of the testicles and the ovaries?
Right. So, there's definitely some more research coming out about, letting, especially the male dogs. I, at this point, recommend to my clients to, unless the dog is having behavior issues, to wait until they're about a year of age to neuter them, or even, waiting a year or two, assuming they're keeping...
For a Newfoundland, that is way low.
Well, that's true. I mean, I'm not talking giant breeds so much.
Newfoundland
but...
doesn't even... There's even some arguments in terms of Newfoundlands being, and Leonbergers also, they'd say 2 years, and they'd say when the growth plates have closed.
But right, right.
The general opinion, and for many of the people that are breeders and well familiar with large breeds, that doing these early neuters are dangerous to the dog itself in terms of health.
Right, right. So, you know, I would say the jury is...
Do you know how to do the spaying, the surgery?
Excuse me?
Do you know how to do the sparing surgeries on the bitches and the dogs?
It's not rocket science. I don't generally do that. If I'm going to neuter them, I'm going to take the body parts out because they're, yeah. You know, the reasons for doing that. I would either not neuter them or I would
Whole shebang.
Exactly.
Okay, let's take a break here. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Pets at Vets. More on the way. Vox Pop on WAMC. I'm Ray Graff, and Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest today. Three or four emails and then home stretch on the calls. This one is from Mary in Schenectady, who says, I have a question about introducing an older cat into our household. We currently have 1 3-year-old female cat who has a strong personality but is not physically aggressive. We are inheriting an older female cat, about 14 years old, who is generally calm but can be a bit scared. Do you have any advice as to the best way to introduce an older female cat into our home? We want the new cat to be happy and do not want to upset or change the behavior of the cat we already have.
So I will say in general... female cats are a little tougher to introduce. males tend to be a little more easygoing, but, you know, that said, things you can do are, A, don't push it. Give them each their own space. I would give the new arrival a separate room where she can have her food in her litter box, and slowly introduce their smells to each other. You can take towels or bedding from one cat and bring it to the other cat so they can just sort of sniff each other without... seeing each other face to face. Lots of feel away. I would get feel away and spray it in the room, spray it in the house, maybe get a diffuser or two and plug them in. And just very slowly try the introduction. Don't try and rush things.
Okay. This one came in from Corey in Saratoga. Corey says, I have a 6-year-old husky mix who is excellent with people, but chases after and growls at other dogs that walk by the house. Do you have any recommendations on how to change this behavior?
So what they call inter-dog aggression, when dogs tend to not like other dogs, I will say is one of the hardest behaviors to break. What I would try and do is to work with the dog to pay attention to you. Lots of treats. Get the dog, you know, trained where it will look at you when you give it a command, you know, whether it's, you know, watch or, you know, come up with some word, and try and slowly get the dog to do that while you're out on walks, where every time you see someone coming anywhere near you, have the dog sit and watch you instead of watching them. And the main thing is also, if the dog starts to be growly about other dogs, you have to try to not reprimand them. I know it's a hard thing because every time they see another dog, they're getting yelled at. Yeah. The other dog isn't a bad thing. What you want to do is go, look, there's somebody new coming. Isn't this great? Yay. You know, make it a happy thing and then distract them, have them look at you. And if need be, walk the other way.
Okay.
But I would just try to make it a happy thing and try and get them to learn to look at you and pay attention to you.
All right. This one is from Bonnie, and then we'll jump back in the phones here. We have an 8-year-old altered male house cat who just recently started exhibiting spaced out seizures. After a full workup at our vet, he suggested we get an MRI of his head because this may be triggered by cancer. However, the MRI would cost $2,000. We can't afford that to confirm a possible diagnosis with steep further surgical costs beyond. So far, he's been stabilized with a course of a few meds, including prednisolone, 5 megs. Now he's getting half, 2.5 megs once daily for 2 weeks, followed by that dosage every other day until finished, 15 pills. I'm familiar with prednisone, but can our cat be on a maintenance of this to keep him seizure-free?
The short answer to that is yes. So prednisone is given because it is anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. It also potentially, depending on the type of cancer it could be, it might actually help shrink tumor.
Huh.
So, yes, if he needs to be on a certain level of prednisone to keep the seizures from occurring, I would do it.
Okay.
There are side effects long term, potentially. The biggest one with cats is diabetes. Mm-hmm. But if it's that or seizures, I would do what you have to do to keep the seizures.
All right.
Running.
Over to Peter in Middletown. Peter, you're on.
Yes. Hi. I have a cat that is believed to be 16 years old. She's a feral. She's a sole survivor of her colony. She's been with us about a year and a half. At first, she ate both dry and wet food. Now she only eats wet food. Even if I give her an ounce of food, she regurgitates a minute later because she basically inhales the food. And I'm wondering, is it the food that's causing the regurgitation? Obviously, the quick gobbling up has a factor, too. But I just can't seem to stop getting her regurgitating.
There's a good chance at 16 that she's got some underlying disease that's causing the regurgitation. Hyperthyroidism is a big one. We certainly see a fair amount of inflammatory bowel disease in older cats. So I would start with at least getting some baseline blood work on her.
That would be a tough one. She doesn't allow us to pick her up yet.
Oh, all right. So then what I would say is you could at least try, I would stick with the canned food as much as possible. And you could maybe just try some of the limited ingredient diets and see if she does better with that. So try mm-hmm. Rabbit or duck or, one of those and see how she does mm-hmm. with that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking that. This has only happened in the last month. We've had her for a year and a half. This has only been the last 4 or 5 weeks. This
right.
is just a new occurrence. And, she just... Okay. Was fine until then. You'd see her, you wouldn't even think she was 16 years old. You'd think she was 2 years old. But
right.
Almost.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Peter, thanks and good luck. We appreciate the call. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Lynn in Harrisburg. Lynn, you're on.
No, I'm in Forestburg, but that's okay.
Forestburg. Okay.
I just want to make a comment about the caller with the puppy with the inflammation in the spine. One of my dogs had suddenly stopped jumping. She was a Basenji, and she would jump up on everything, not a problem. And she suddenly stopped, and I noticed when she was jumping off the couch that she would let out a little squeal. But I took her to the vet. She did a total examination and found inflammation in the spine, and she recommended laser treatment 3 times a week for 3 weeks, and for 4 years the dog never had another problem. Then she had a problem again, and we did acupuncture, and I found both of them were it was like a miracle. The yeah. cat passed away the dog passed away just recently. She was 16 years old.
Wow.
And
wow.
she was still running around and chasing other things. So I wondered what you thought about laser treatments and acupuncture for animals.
Oh, I think laser and acupuncture can be great, especially for spinal cord issues.
Mm-hmm.
They can be very helpful. Absolutely.
All right. What does the laser treatment do?
It heats up. I don't do laser treatment, but my understanding is it heats up the tissue and helps bring healing. To the area.
All right. Over to Jason in Freehold. Jason, you're on.
Yes. I have a 5-year-old English Shepherd, and about a week ago, we noticed when we woke up in the morning, all of a sudden she couldn't use her back legs. We ended up having to take her to an emergency vet. By the time we got her to the emergency vet, she couldn't use her front legs either or lift her head. They did a bunch of tests, and it turned out that she had gotten into one of my nebulizer albuterol vials. And I personally didn't know that albuterol was toxic to dogs. And, I mean, we almost lost her because of this. And I was wondering what it is about the albuterol that is so toxic for the dog, because they ended up having to give her beta blockers and get her electrolytes back up because her potassium had just absolutely bottomed out on her.
Huh. To be honest, I'm not sure. I would think albuterol, if it was going to do anything, I would think it would have, you know, been a blood pressure issue or a heart rate issue. So I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to go look at my drug book on that one. Yeah. I mean, we use albuterol in dogs.
No, to put their albuterol away if you have a dog.
Yeah, I honestly, any of those inhalers, if a dog chews on them, I would imagine would not be great.
Now, you said you use albuterol in dogs?
We do sometimes, yes.
For what?
For breathing issues.
Yeah. Okay.
And cats as well.
Let's go to Anita in Clinton. Anita, you're on.
Hi, I have a 16-year-old male cat just diagnosed with kidney failure, and the creatinine is 3.4, up from 2.7 in September. And I wondered how long he has to live.
Oh, gosh. I have long ago given up giving timelines for cats because they invariably prove me wrong. I will even tell you, I had my own cat who at 6 years old, his kidneys got damaged. One completely shut down. The other one was not working great. His creatinine was always bordering around 3. And I figured he'd be lucky to live a couple of years. And he died at 19 and a half.
Wow.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, what a life.
So, you know, you never know. You never know how fast a kidney disease is going to progress. But cats... Unlike dogs don't do well with kidney disease. Cats seem to be very tolerant of living with partially functional kidneys. So, you know, diet is important, making sure they keep their weight up, keeping them hydrated. And and I always say if they get sick at all, get them right in because they'll dehydrate in a heartbeat. So, you know, just make sure you're staying on top of things.
All right, Anita, thanks for the call. And now to Lori in Marlboro, Mass. Lori, you're on.
Hi, I'm calling about the tortoise only because about 10 years ago, a friend of mine had one that wouldn't eat. She took it to the vet, and the vet was puzzled, and then he thought about it, and he said, you know, they use their eyes to eat. Maybe there's something wrong with his eyes. And he looked, and sure enough, there was a problem with a tortoise's eye. He put some drops in it, and the tortoise was... So I thought I would mention that because it really startled me and everybody else.
Huh.
Well, good information to pass along. Thank you.
Lori, thank you very much for the call. And now to Ashley in Albany. Ashley.
Hi. So my partner and I just moved in together, and we're looking to get a new pet. So I really wanted to get a dog, but neither of us grew up with dogs and kind of don't know where to start.
So you're looking to decide what kind of dog to get or what age of dog to get?
Yeah, kind of just like what are some things that we should take into consideration when bringing a new pet into our home?
Well, you know, some of it is your lifestyle, how much time you have to devote to a dog. And how big of a place you have, how much room you have for them to run. You know, there are some dogs that are very content to just be a lap dog and, you know, go for a little walk around the block. And other dogs need room to run and, you know, time spent playing with them. So it's, you know, dogs run the gamut from the little Chihuahua to the, you know, the giant Leonberger. So it really depends on what you're looking for. You know, something like a little Shih Tzu, they're pretty happy to just sit around and watch TV with you and go for a walk occasionally. And then, you know, you get the Springer Spaniel that needs to, you know, go out for a run 5 times a day. So,
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, it all depends on what you're willing to do.
Okay. And in terms of, rescue versus breeder, is there anything that we should be aware of or anything that we should take into consideration?
Well, I'm a big fan of rescue dogs. you know, you have a little less knowledge of what their personality is going to be. But I will say a lot of the rescues now get these dogs and foster them. So they've had spent some time in a private home, and you can pretty much get a good idea of, you know, what they've been like in their foster home. So, you know, whereas if you're going for the breed, then you're going for that type of personality. But then you're going to spend a lot more money.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Good
Thanks
luck.
Thanks for the call. Who's next? Joyce in Catskill. Joyce.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. We have a 12-year-old cat, and he had an incident with a home health care aide that we had in our home where he was fine when we went to bed and half dead the next morning. Would not eat, would not drink. We syringe fed him and got him to the vet, and he was on antibiotics. They had to keep switching them because nothing was breaking the fever or improving his condition. So he was on antibiotics for a good, I want to say, 3 weeks. And he gradually came back to himself, although he refused to eat his normal food. We had to keep giving him different food. He is eating a can and a half to 2 cans a day, and we're barely maintaining a minimum of 10 pounds on him, and he was usually a 12-pound cat. I brought him to a specialist who made me do the elimination diet thing. I've been doing kangaroo for 3 weeks now, still not putting on any weight.
Hmm. And I'm assuming he's had blood work and everything to rule out things like thyroid disease.
Yes.
And all that.
Yes. Yes, when he first had the infection, when the incident first happened, his thyroid, his T4, was really, really low, like a 0.6.
Right, yeah.
And his other numbers were wonky. His numbers were way out of line. He had a high fever. But all of that's normal now.
Huh.
His blood work is, except for one borderline thing, which would be a sign of very, very, very early kidney disease, everything is normal.
Have you tried some probiotics?
You know, somebody just suggested that to us yesterday.
That would be something easy to try. I mean, it may be whatever this fever is messed with his gut flora, and he's just not absorbing his food as well as he should.
Okay.
Is he having normal stools?
Okay. His stools have always been large.
Okay.
But I noticed that they're like slime.
Oh,
we lost that one, but...
Well, I would do the probiotics as a starter.
All right.
And see if that doesn't help.
Very quickly, we go to Joe in Pittsfield. Joe, you got about 30 seconds.
Hey, who are you? Got a mini Australian Shepherd who was a cute puppy. She's a year old. I'm the granddad. She lives in Brooklyn, comes to Pittsfield a lot. She's been getting aggressive. And it kind of didn't just come on, but it's been getting worse. And she is... they put her on Prozac or something and told her to get behavioral lessons.
Okay.
Is this normal for these dogs?
No, I wouldn't say it's normal. You know, we do see some dogs who have, you know, personality issues. I would agree. I would say definitely getting at minimum a behavior class, like, you know, obedience class.
Yeah.
And if he's really getting aggressive with people, then potentially talking to a veterinary behaviorist.
Okay. Well, that's where we will have to leave it. Support comes from Berkshire Bird Paradise, Petersburg, New York. Building for the future, open by appointment only during renovations. More information at birdparadise.org. Ed Garbosik, Certified Financial Planner, Private Financial Design, South Hadley. Your life, your plan, your portfolio. PrivateFinancialDesign.com. Securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC. Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 30 years. QFCC.com. At Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting the French Cameroonian duo Les Nubians, May 11th, and Tank and the Bangas in concert celebrating Mass Mocha's 20th birthday, May 25th. massmocha.org. Thanks again to Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the great calls. I apologize if we did not get to your call. Thanks to Zach Malloy. I'm sorry for everything, Zach. Thanks to Carol Lapani, who answered the phones. Our producer's Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, the Science Forum reconvenes at 2 p.m. Stand by now for 51%.